Good evening, Element City Church family. It's a delight to have you tuning in, being a part of this evening. And I know there are many of you who are tuning in from across the United States and elsewhere who are with us tonight. And we are glad to have you with us tonight. We need to be together, even though I know we're separated by maybe a few miles or a living room or so. But we are glad to have you here, and especially if you're tuning in and you're new, welcome to Element City Church. We've got a passion just to reach people where you're at and to be a part of your life and to kind of bring the hope and love of Jesus to the heart of Tucson and beyond. And tonight is it's a challenging night. And so tonight is maybe a little bit different than what you would see tuning in on an average week. This has been a hard week for us, for you. So we're mourning the loss of our lead pastor, Brian Lee, and the suddenness of that I don't know if you heard, and maybe some of you are hearing for the first time, but for many, you're hearing it as a part of the story that's been unfolding this week, and it was sudden. It was unexpected. And we're hurting. We're hurting for our loss. We are hopeful and we are celebrating Brian because he loves Jesus and he's with him. And so we take great comfort in that. We don't grieve as those who have no hope, the scriptures say, but we still grieve. And that's the hard part of this moment. And I know you grieve. And I'm sorry for that. I wish it was different. I just wish differently. And so maybe there's a struggle that you're having, and I just want to ask that you'd go with us tonight on a little bit of a journey into, as we wade into the waters of this grieving. That's the reality of the moment, and that you continue to pray for the Lee family. I want to thank you, so many of you from all over, who have been lifting up prayers for them, helping with the GoFundMe account, helping in just so many tangible ways. They have felt that. They are blessed by that. And we want that to continue. That's not a weak project. This is a long journey. And we're in it. And we'll walk together through it. And so tonight, we're going to spend a little bit of time worshiping. I'm going to talk a little bit about what is Jesus, in moments like this, what would he say? What would he do? What can we learn from the scriptures for that? We'll worship again, and then we're going to have a time of prayer for the family and for our church family, an opportunity to maybe hear the gospel message. Here's what Brian championed. Here's what we champion as a church, pushing people, doing everything we can to put people's attention on Jesus and everything of who he is and what he's done for us. And so I know in moments like this, there's all the questions that come, right? There's all the questions of what now, or how do we move forward, or why did it happen this way? Why question seems like the most daunting, doesn't it? If we're just honest, that why question is a struggle. But I want to encourage us tonight to ask a different question, to ask the who question. Who do we look to? Who do we lean into? Who do we seek out in moments like this? And we know the answer to that. It's Jesus. It's who holds Brian right now, who walks with him in heaven, and who offers an opportunity for us to have life with God that secures not only our todays, but our forever tomorrows. That the who matters. And so we want to spend time worshiping Jesus, leaning into the hope that we have that's in him and through him and for us. And so that's tonight. We invite you to be a part of that. At the end of the service, we've got a special tribute for Brian, and we just encourage you to be a part of that and allow that to fuel some of your prayers for the family. We'll announce details for the memorial service at the end of tonight. And so just in these next few moments, we invite you, wherever you're at, and whatever state of mind or heart you're at, to join us, and that together we will move forward, and together we will honor, and we will remember, and we will celebrate, and we will put our attention on the who that matters most, Jesus, and we'll gain the comfort and the hope that we need through him. And so the Church of the Week, we nominated ourselves. So I'd like to pray for us. And I also want to let you know that there's so many churches around town that have reached out to us. And I just publicly want to say thank you to all of those churches who have called, text, emailed. We feel your prayers. We're grateful for it. Please don't stop. We'll take it. And so let's pray, and then we're going to worship, and then I'll share a little bit of a word for us. So, God, in every moment, we choose you. We choose to lean into you. In the easy moments and in the really challenging ones. As a church, God, we just announce that we need you. We need your leadership. We need your comfort. We need your wisdom. We need your insight. We need supernatural healing for us. We pray that for the Lee family. God, would you encourage us? You tell us in your word that we receive comfort, that we can turn around and invest in those who need it in the moment. And so would you help us as a church, just as you have this week, so many people reaching out, trying to figure out how to come alongside. We want to continue to do that for the Lee family, for our church family, as we kind of wade through these waters in this journey of grief. Would you meet us tonight as we put our attention and our affection in your direction, God? Jesus, would you meet us? Would you encourage us? Would you stir us? Would you help us to know your presence in a sense that in a fresh and new way? As we worship you now, would you meet us in this song? And would you stir our hearts with your comfort and your presence and your healing, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah, in the presence of my enemies, I raise a hallelujah, louder than the unbelief, I raise a hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. I hope you're worshiping loud at home. There's nothing that Brian loved more than to worship, and more importantly, to worship loud. And so I hope that you're doing that. We invite you as we continue to worship. We're going to talk for a little bit and then worship some more. And if you're online with us tonight and your heart is heavy, which it might be, we've got 3 or 4 hosts that are online who would love to pray with you. And so if you need that, just let them know, hey, I would love someone to pray, and they'll meet you in the chat room and a private chat and pray with you, and we will welcome you to that. And what I want to, for us to kind of lean into a little bit tonight is simply this. I don't know if you know statistically that the scriptures, the Bible, is made up of 66 different books kind of bound together that make up the Bible. Over 1,100 chapters in all of those books put together, over 31,000 verses that are in the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. And so you see the reality of this. A few hundreds years ago, when they put in the scripture verses to kind of help people with finding things and just be able to locate stuff, there was the shortest verse in the Bible located in John chapter 11, in the Gospel of John. I don't know if you've ever put much thought to what that verse might be. If you're kind of new to church and new to the Bible, I'm going to give you a memory verse tonight that's really easy to memorize. In fact, you're going to get it here in a second. And so then you can say, look, I know a verse from the Bible. If you've been around the scriptures for a while, you may know what it is. And then there's the depth and a beauty to this verse that helps unpack a little bit of who God is and what he's like. The verse is John chapter 11, verse 35, and here's what it says. Jesus wept. Period. That's the whole verse. It's such a short verse, it's easy for us to skip over as we're reading through John chapter 11, and you kind of see the whole story, and we'll get to the backstory a little bit of it, and it's so easy just to read right through it and to keep moving. And yet there's something about this verse that has a beauty and a depth to it that needs to meet us in a moment like this. Needs to meet us in the challenges of the moments that come your way. As we wrestle with the deeper questions of life that will come. They're here for us as a church right now, but they're here for you in different seasons of your life, and you know that. Those deeper questions of life, and how can God say he's good when we face tragedy? Tragedy is so much a part of the story of what surrounds us. Why would God allow this to happen? You ever had that question go through your mind? Does God understand? Does God care? Does God still rule when things don't seem right or feel right? Have you wrestled with those? And into those questions and more, the scriptures and the Spirit would simply whisper, Jesus wept. And there's something incredibly, divinely profound about that reality and what gets expressed there. These simple words convey a profound reality about who Jesus is and why we can trust him in moments like this or moments that come your way. The Apostle Paul talks about he didn't count equality. Jesus didn't count equality with God to be something that was to be grasped by everyone. But he laid it aside and he took upon himself our form, humanity, the incarnation, God in the flesh, fully divine, fully human. The Gospel of John said that the Word became flesh. Why is that important? Because God's a God who is with. God's not distant, just standing and shouting instructions. Jesus can identify with our weakness. He took our sin and our brokenness. He made an exchange that was necessary and that no one else could do. And he made it for you and he made it for me. His life for ours. Jesus made a way through his life, his death, his resurrection, that we might experience life with God, not just for today, but for every tomorrow and every tomorrow to come in eternity, that we become settled for that. He took on humanity so that he could show us the way forward. He identifies with us. Jesus has incredible joy. And Jesus also weeps. And that, my friends, is what can hold us in moments like this, when the bottom seems to drop out of your life, mine, a church life. And in those moments, we understand that Jesus understands and he knows. Brian and I always talked about one of our favorite verses in scripture was Romans 12:15. Simply said, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. And we said, if we could be part of a church that just lives this out, how awesome would that be? How awesome would it be for the people of God just to practice and live out that verse? That when someone's happy, that you join them in that moment. When someone's really sad, they're mourning, they're hurting, that you would pull up a seat on the curb next to them, not with a pep talk, but just to be and to be present. And what if in our marriages, and in our families, and in our church family, we just begin to live this out more? Your relationships would be better. They would be richer. They would be deeper. They would be healthier. And as a church, this is our moment to live this out, to really say to one another, I'm going to mourn with those who mourn. And I'm not giving a pep talk of how to overcome. There'll be a moment for that. But for right now, it's just I'm here, and I'm grieving with you. That's the reality of the culture that we want to cultivate here. It's part of the DNA of Element City Church. It's part of the DNA of Jesus' church, capital C, to be these kind of people that are for to love your neighbor and to be able to do that well. And we get to live this out in practical and tactical and strategic ways in the days ahead. We must live this out together. And that is how we move forward. Someone asked this week, how do we move forward? Together. That's how. Is it easy? No. Is it hard? Yeah. And that's okay. It's not what we would choose. We wouldn't choose this for the Lee family, for Brian, for our church family, but it is what is. And into that moment, we will stand together. And we will pray, and we will rejoice, and we will mourn together, and we'll move forward. See, sometimes that comes with a smile, and sometimes we join Jesus, and we weep. John 11:35, Jesus wept. What's interesting about that story, it's, you probably know it, it's Mary and Martha and Lazarus' story in John 11, and we tend to skip to the end because that's the really cool part where Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead after 4 days. It's crazy, and we skip to that end because that's God's power, and the reality is that is amazing, and I hope we all get to see God's power in that kind of magnitude. But God's power moves in a whole lot of other ways as well. And sometimes God's best power moves in the difficult moments where he brings an intimacy with himself and with one another that you don't get when everything's great. And there's moments where he can meet and his power moves. This verse resounds with the reality of a God who enters in, a God who identifies with us, a God who notices, a God who feels, a God who is dialed in, a God who is near, a God who understands, a God who is with. He is Emmanuel, God with us in each and every moment. We remember that God's power is in display in different ways. And we remember Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Lazarus was struggling. He was sick and it wasn't looking good, and the news got to Jesus. And what did Jesus do? He waited, which didn't sit well with Mary and Martha, because it's Jesus, and he can fix things. And why would he wait? And it's those why questions again. And they're hard to answer. Sometimes there is no answer. And into that moment, these questions begin to stir, and even questions that weren't asked, I think we're boiling up underneath the surface. They would approach Jesus later and say, where were you? Well, if you had been here, things would have been different. Jesus says to Martha, your brother will rise again. There is a hope that will hold you. But that hope is hard to see in that moment. And so she begins to ask. But the reality is God knows. Jesus knows. The events of a tragedy do not elude God. They may exasperate us, but they do not elude him. He knows, and he's with. They may exasperate us, like Mary and Martha, who Martha shows up to Jesus and said, if you had been here, he would not have died. It would have been different if you had been here. Mary comes out later and says the same thing as Jesus has stayed a little bit further away from the house. And Mary comes and says, if he would have been here, he wouldn't have died. And these amazing statements contain both an incredible, amazing faith and blame. And Jesus didn't stop them. He received both. He's big enough for both. And into that moment, he goes to where they've laid him. In John 11:35, Jesus wept. Nothing was solved right then. What Jesus did is he was with. Mourn with those who mourn. We see it right here in the life of Jesus. It's modeled for us. And with the questions that were big, the why questions of, you are able, but where were you? You are able, but where were you? And that's the questions we have in moments like this, moments that you face in life. It's, God, I believe you're able to do anything and everything, and yet, where were you? And it seems like there's this unforgivable tension. God, do you care? And into that, to those questions, to that moment, the scriptures declare, Jesus wept. For you in your moment, for us in ours, for me in mine. He weeps, he understands. Verse 36 says, see how he loved. The people around Jesus notice this, and it catches their attention so much that they begin to recount and speak into and say, man, this moved him. See how much he loves. Only two times recorded that we see in the Gospels that Jesus wept. One is right here. Jesus wept, John 11:35, and a couple chapters down the road, as he's making his way toward the cross, he weeps over the city of Jerusalem. How I long to gather you, and you missed it. Jesus longs to connect. And he makes his way to the cross so that our tears are not our final word. He makes the way to the cross so that his hope is the final word. Jesus said, I see all the hurt, I see all the tears, I see all the pain, and I will set it right. And it may not be this day, but it's coming. And that is the hope we hold on to. That is the hope that walks with Brian in heaven. He is having a grand time. He is worshiping like crazy. I bet he's even helping fix the sound system up there. He's having a grand time. And we wouldn't want to rob that. We're the ones who have the sorrow. His family's the one that has the ache. And that's what we wish we could fix. And into that moment, into all those thousands of questions, the scriptures declare, Jesus weeps. And he hurts. And this isn't the final word. The cross has the final word. And his hope is the one that holds us. And so a quick takeaway from this whole encounter in John 11, you can read it this week, is what sticks out to me is real love shows up. Jesus didn't have to go. He chose to go. Maybe different timing than I would have chosen. Maybe different timing than you would have picked. But he shows up. Real love shows up. Kimberly, I don't know if you're watching. We will show up. We have and we will continue. And into your moments, those of you watching, as a church, we must commit to show up. That's why we do community. That's why we try to get people connected. And if you've been on the fringe and not all that connected, I know this season is so hard. But we will do our best to connect and to show up, because that's what real love does. Real love shows out. That's what Jesus wept meant, is real love shows out. It's compassion is not something we talk about. It's something you do. It's something you show. You all have expressed that this week for the Lee family. I've seen you express it for other families in our church as they go through difficult times. The compassion is palpable in how you love, and you love so well, church. Let's continue to be a church that does that and gets better and better at it. Because that's what a watching world has to see. That's what they're longing to see. People who live this out. And when real love shows up and shows out, real love brings God's power. And it may not fix things the way we'd say or we'd want it to be fixed, but when God's power shows up, it fixes things. And it has an impact. And most of the time when God's power shows up, his best delivery system is the mere presence of his people with one another, practicing, rejoicing with those who rejoice, and mourn with those who mourn. That's his delivery system. It's you. It's me. We're it. And we're invited into being a part of that. And so may we be a people who practice and live out Romans 12:15, rejoicing and mourning with those. The world will be better as we get better at that. And God will leverage his story and his grace and his hope into the lives of people that need it and need to see something different. And so here's the challenge for you, for me, for us as a church. We talk all the time about do for one what you wish you could do for everyone. Church, this is your moment. Do for one what you wish you could do for everyone. We'll do that for the Lee family. And we'll do that for a church. But what if part of the reason or part of the strategy that God's allowing to happen in this COVID season is that we can't just gather and hold up in here, that we're actually pushed and scattered to be out there all over the place? And what if we just said, I'm going to do for one what I wish I could do for everyone. I'm going to see a need and meet it. That's what Brian Lee did. He'd see a need and he'd meet it. What if we just all did that together separately? And each week we said, God, help me see a need this week and help me to meet it. And the church then becomes the scattered distributors of God's grace and love and hope in a way that meets people. We need more of that. Our world needs more of that. And we get the opportunity to do that. And so as we worship here, as the team comes to lead us, this song, As It Is in Heaven, is the prayer that Jesus prayed in the Lord's Prayer. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Meaning, let more of the way things operate in heaven be more of the way things operate in our here and now, in our season, in our moment of history, in our city, in our town, within our reach. Friends, may that be so. See a need, meet a need. What if we got that reputation as a church? I think that may just change our city. And so, Father, we invite you in this song. Stir our hearts as we move to our moment of prayer in a few minutes. Would you continue to put your blessing upon us, your favor, your leadership for us? We need you.
As it is in heaven, it is in me. as it is in heaven, so let it be. Yes, God, when we come to worship you, we just recognize that there's already a river of praise that's flowing continuously, and it flows in heaven as the angels and the people gather around your throne, and they're constantly saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And so as it is in heaven, so let it be. God, may that be the cry of our hearts, that we look to the hope that's set before us, the hope of heaven. The hope that one day, God, that when all this fades away, when we step into eternity, that you await us. And that in that moment, just all fear is gone, all sin has been removed, all hurt, all pain, it's gone. But we're healthy, we're whole, given our resurrected bodies, we just get to begin joining in that song, just worshiping you, Father, because we finally see the fullness of your glory, the fullness of who you are. So Jesus, thank you, Lord, that your word says that blessed are those who mourn, for they'll be comforted. And so we just pray your comfort would go out tonight, God, for all those who are tuning in at home, for those who may be watching later in the week, wherever we're at, God, there's so many emotions. There's just so much for us to process through as a church. But we know that you're with us. God, we know that you're with Kimberly, with the kids. We know that they're not just surrounded by their church family, but most importantly, Jesus, they're surrounded under the shelter and the shadow of your wings. So God, we just run to that place to find rest in you. We celebrate Brian. We praise the fact that he is in your presence. He no longer sees in part, but he sees in full just the brilliance of your glory. And so as we worship you tonight, God, would you just maybe give us a glimpse of that, what that's going to look like. Maybe just a little bit of a portal where that beauty, that brilliance can leak out so we can see it, so that we can see what it is that we look forward to, what it is that those who've gone before us already experience. Jesus, we love you. Thank you. You are good, that you are with us. Let's just continue to bring comfort to our hearts tonight as we lean in close to you. It's in Jesus' precious and holy name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. I want to talk to you guys a little bit about how we respond in this tragedy. How do we pray in the pain? And how do we do that individually? How do we do that corporately? We're used to things being in control. We like it when we feel like we're in control. We like it when things go the way we want. And when it seems that everything is going the way we don't want, we can tend to get angry. We can tend to get depressed. We can tend to take it in all kinds of ways. And no doubt the tragedy that we're all experiencing, it's hitting each of us in a little bit different way. And so the first thing I just want to say is take it to Jesus. Take it to the Father. Like, don't keep it bottled up. Don't keep it pressed down. Don't be afraid of the pain. Don't be afraid of expressing the emotion, expressing your questions. Even in silence, don't be afraid. In fact, I would encourage you, take some silence. Get alone with God. And don't worry about what you say or what you do. Just say, God, I'm here. You're my Father, and the world seems upside down right now, and I'm hurting, and I need you. It's just that simple. We always want to turn to God because many times, especially again in our culture, the temptation is to kind of draw into ourselves, away from other people, away from other loved ones, and even for the Christian, sometimes away from the Father, away from God. And I just want to encourage us, no matter how you feel, no matter how, just press into Him. Give time. Make sure you're giving time to meet with the Lord. But number two, I really want to talk too about, don't just do this alone, whether it's in the prayer, whether it's in the silence. Do this with a loved one, at least one other person. If you can do it with a few others, it not only will help you, but it'll help them. And we're not meant to do this alone. We're not meant to grieve alone. We're not meant to experience this alone. And I need you, and you need me, and I need my loved ones, and you need your loved ones. And the more we can engage this, again, not be afraid of it, but to be willing to say what's really on our heart, or to, again, just hold the hand of a loved one and just sit there in silence and weep. Sit there in silence over the phone and weep. Wherever you are, I want to encourage us. This is how we respond. As the people of God, we respond to God, and we respond to each other. There's going to be, Jack has talked a couple times now about these waves of emotion and these waves of pain and the different experiences that we're all going to go through. And it is very true that it's going to come when you least expect it. It's going to come in ways that maybe you haven't felt before. And there's going to be a whole gamut. And really, God finds that there's an opportunity in all of the mess and all of the pain to probe the depth of your heart, to probe the depth of your life, and to discover really the depth and the height and the width of the love of Christ. Scriptures say, it's very interesting, scriptures say that God doesn't even take delight in the destruction of the wicked. And the most wicked person on the planet, the person who's done the most damage, oftentimes when that person gets taken out, people celebrate. But God is so loving, so caring, that even the most wicked person, God takes no delight in their death. How much more His very children, those that have devoted themselves to Him. And so again, you need to see and you need to understand and you need to communicate to others that God's heart is broken. He's not the author of death. He's the one to go to in the midst of the tragedy, not the one to pull away from, not the one to blame, but He's the one to go to in the midst of the tragedy. And then to be free to express yourself in the whole gamut, of emotion, whether it's in silence, whether it's screaming, whether it's crying, whether it's celebrating. Again, even just today, we started off with that song, Raise a Hallelujah, and I really just didn't even feel, again, I don't even really feel like talking today much. I feel heavy personally, but again, it's just the Spirit of just rise up and praise, right? You know, again, so my final encouragement to you is don't just mourn, but also celebrate. And again, it as you begin to celebrate or praise God, you might find yourself being overwhelmed with emotion and go right back into mourning and right back into weeping. And as you weep and as you mourn, and God begins to remind you of good things about Brian, and maybe you've had other loved ones that die in your life, and this situation raises that back up for you, and you remember the good moments, and then you rise back up from the floor, and you begin to thank God and celebrate and tell a good story to a friend and laugh about it, which then just causes you to cry again. And you know what I'm saying? Like, be real, be loving, be true, and be free to express yourself to God and to one another and to do this together. Amen? So finally, I want to pray for the Lee family and for the Elements family and for all of you out there. I just want to have a moment of prayer with you. That's really what this is, and then we're going to sing another song. Lord, You are so good, and You are the author of life, and you are the giver of every good and perfect gift. And Brian was a gift, God. He was a gift to his family, and he was a gift to us. And God, I ask that you remind all of us that every one of us are a gift to each other. Everyone has a gift in a friend. Everyone has a gift in a mom. Everyone has a gift by those that you've planted around them. And God, we have an abundance of gifts here in this church and here in this family. We have an abundance of people we can reach out to, an abundance of people we can pray with, an abundance of rejoicing and celebrating the good things of you, Lord. And so we just want to thank you. We want to praise you, God. Brian is in the best place. Now we need to focus more on each other and more on our relationships that we have, God. More than ever, God, let us honor you and let us honor Brian by going deeper into the Lord and going deeper into what it is to truly love one another in truth, in grace, in gentleness, in kindness, in understanding. Lord, we have a long ways to go. We are a broken people, God. And right now, we're a hurting people. And so, Lord, we want to draw near to you in prayer. We want to draw near to you in worship. We want to draw near to you in fellowship with one another, God. So, God, I'm asking you, send forth the Spirit. Stir in us new things. Create in us new songs. Allow us to weep like we've never wept before. Let sounds from the depth of our soul just rise to you like incense. And may they all be received with rejoicing in heaven, God. For we are your people, and you are our God, and nothing will ever change that. No tragedy, no death, nothing. Nothing will separate us from the love of Christ. And so, Lord, we continue just to worship you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Blood of Christ.
no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hand, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ, I stand. Our great hope tonight. May these words bring us comfort.
That's where we stand. It's in our connection to Christ, more importantly, his connection to us through grace. That is the gospel. It's not about your effort, your energy, the good things you do, and you try to stack it up to be good enough. How good is good enough? Not enough. The hope is found in Jesus alone. It's in his life, his death, his resurrection. He's the one that made a way for us to have life with God. That is what Brian championed. That's what he lived for. It's what he loved. It's who he loves. It all comes back to the who. It's Jesus. So thanks for being a part of this service tonight. Everything that we talked about and prayed about, join us in the journey to live that out. Real love shows up. It shows out. You can see it, not just talked about. And when real love is shown out and lived out, God's power just shows up, and it does what only he can do. That's the story we get to be a part of. It's the story that Brian started here with Element City Church, and it is the story that will roll on. So if you don't have a church home, be a part of ours. We travel really easy right now. We're online, so we come to you. If you're in a church, man, connect. Give. Be a part of it. Don't be on the sidelines. If you've never said yes to Jesus, myself, David, our staff, and Brian in particular would say, man, you just got to say yes to Jesus. And if that's you tonight, then let one of our hosts know online. If that's you and you just want to talk, then reach out to David or I. Reach out to our staff. We would love to celebrate. Reach out to someone you know. and just say, look, I think I got to get around this Jesus thing more. I've just been investigating. So you're invited closer, I guess. A couple quick things. Again, I just want to say thank you on behalf of the Lee family, on behalf of our staff, our church, for all of you individually, all the churches across our city who are just expressing your care, your concern, your love, your prayers. We are grateful, thankful for it. Keep it coming. Thank you for all of you who support the mission of Element City Church week in and week out to be the church in the city, to bring the hope and light of Jesus to the heart of the city. That's what we're about. We can't do it without your partnership in that. So thank you for all of you who do. Thank you for all of you who are going above and beyond to invest in the Lee family, to bless them. They have been blessed by that. Whether it's the GoFundMe account, which you can find on our site, or on, you can find it, it's kind of all over the internet right now. You'll find it, whether it's individual people who have been doing things on the sideline and kind of just coming in from the peripheral, you know who you are. Thank you. Thanks for letting your generosity speak blessing in that. Tonight as we close, we invite you to watch the next 6 minutes, a memoriam tribute to Brian. You'll see pictures. As you watch this, here's the invitation. Two things. Watch it and remember. Honor. And remember the moments that you and Brian shared. And take a moment and just tell God thank you. Thank you for his influence and his imprint and his impact in your life. And maybe in the same breath, take a moment and just lift up a prayer again for the family. And so tonight as we watch this, this will be the end of service. I want to invite you back next week. We will be at Pantano Christian Church at 5 o'clock next Sunday, August 9th, for the celebration of life, Brian Lee, and his memorial service. And so that slide will be after these this memoriam slideshow. And that info will go live here on Facebook, and it's kind of all over the place. You'll see it. Brian did not want us to wear all black. We're not in mourning. We are celebrating his life. And so dress in bright colors, dress casual. As you know, Brian and I only wear suits at, like, weddings and funerals. Like, that's it. So, like, dress casual and be a part of the celebration of life. And finally, let's enjoy this together. And I just want to say, Brian, I love you. Thank you. We'll stand with your family until we walk again.
We are no longer slaves to fear. And God wants to break through and through you to others and the way that you bless and the way you live your life. He wants to break through this city, to this city through our church, through the churches, as we bless our communities. His church, this church, is about his people, to bring the hope and light of Jesus to the heart of the city. Let's get uncomfortable. Let's do what God's asked us to do. Let's be intentional. Let's be intentional with our relationships. Let's be intentional with our encouragement. Let's be intentional with our love. The greatest indicator of if you have a relationship with Jesus or that you're a follower of Jesus is how you deal with love. How you get it and how you give it. People determine about who you serve by how you love. That is what agape love is. It's outrageous. It's outrageous love. It's not natural. It's supernatural. And that's how God loves us. God stands like this, arms open wide, and says, I'm all in. I know I am loved by a God, that this is how I want to live my life, hands open, arms open. And Lord, that's the love that I am so glad that I get to interact with, the consistency of that. And Lord, thank you for allowing me and our church and these people to experience that kind of love. I want you to remember that you have a calling on your life. You have a role in God's kingdom. You are a son of a mighty, mighty king. And you can't give up.